Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. We pray that we might be able to respond to your word today, be able to hear it, even in the midst of the heat and discomfort. We pray that your word would just penetrate our hearts and our minds and just renew us in our love and our affection for you as the good shepherd and our king. Lord, we just pray that you enable us to respond. Help me to break open your word to your people. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So this week, the convocation's been a blessed week in many ways, but it happens because of that whole area of service, people around the community who lay down their lives in service. I think that picks up something of the heart of the gospel, this heart of service. And this heart that kind of seeks to reach out to others. And just as we sit here in this rather warm church, St. Benedict's is... But it's a bit of a sacrifice of praise when we come here to give praise to the Lord as a community. So there's something about that, the heat and the sweat that I always find is a bit of an equaliser, you know. When I was in Darwin for many years, I always liked to go to meetings. They're a little bit kind of, there were VIPs there and, they'd come in their suits and even the clergy that were dressed up to the nines, and I was sort of delighted in a way because you knew that, after about 15 to 20 minutes sort of in the meeting, they'd be sort of starting to, sweat like everyone else. It was kind of good. They'd smell like everyone else too, And so it was kind of an equaliser, Didn't feel like they were better than you or you were better than them. And I think there's something of... we need those conditions that often kind of bring about that equalisation. It's often when we go to people who feel a little bit sort of marginalised or on the edges, we can often go with that kind of attitude of heart that I'm going out to bring something to this person who's in need. I have something to bring them. It turns into an us and them sort of attitude. And really, it's, the heart of the gospel is you go to encounter the Lord in the other. I heard of this little story once about a UFO. Now, despite whether you believe in those or not, it's true. This unidentified flying object landed in the backyard of someone in Canberra. And it was a member of a pretty vibrant Christian community. And out came the little bloke. And these vibrant Christians came out to them and they welcomed them, of course. And the first thing that they said was, after people had spoken about who they were and where they were in relationship to Jesus, who was the king and creator of all the earth, they said, oh, he's the king and creator of all the earth. Well, not only the earth, but the universe. And they said, is he still here? And they said, yes, he is. And they said, where would we find him? In Canberra. Where would you take him to find Jesus in Canberra? Anyone want to just kind of call it out?
Stuart Flats.
Maybe. Yeah. Thank you. Anywhere else?
Family dinner.
Thanks, Stephen.
The mass.
Oh, darn. So theologically correct. Where else? The Mass, yes? Okay, so you're getting the idea. But there is this whole kind of call upon us as the church at the moment through Pope Francis, isn't there? Of encountering, engaging Jesus. Where people are at. In a particular way, where the people are, really thirsting and hungry and lonely and confused. and deceived and without hope. And what we really do need to get hold of here, because this is a reading both to challenge us to stay where we stand in relation to those who we know are very needy in our culture. I mean, you can be very needy and very rich spiritually. You can be very needy and very intellectual and be in the university and not know the King of Glory, not know the King of Kings, not know the Lord and Creator, not know the Saviour of the world. But today, in a particular way, I'd like to kind of focus on if Jesus has a particular place in his heart, and we know that he does from the Gospels, for the poor, for those who are the most kind of marginalised in our culture, and they come in very, very different shapes and forms these days, not only materially poor, but in a whole range of ways, then it speaks something of the heart of the mercy of God, doesn't it? That the merciful heart of God reaches in and has a particular embracing of those who are perhaps the most neglected, the most marginalized, those who are most in need of love. Because the greatest poverty has got to be that that kind of poverty of love. Something Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, when she came to Australia, said she'd never seen such poverty, such spiritual poverty as in this country. And that should be, you know, making a few connections for us as Christians and as a Christian community about where we find Jesus and where people who are following Jesus and how his disciples will be, that they will be with him where he is. Because the merciful heart of Jesus is always renewing us. You know, we who have experienced and again throw ourselves again and again on the merciful heart of the Lord can't forget. We need to be open to that merciful encounter of Jesus every day, so that we never forget what God has done for us. It's often the forgetfulness that brings a kind of apathy and passivity of heart and then into church communities. When we forget, we constantly need ways to remember and to be renewed and refreshed in that saving love of God, in that merciful love. Because see, mercy, when we've authentically experienced mercy, it releases a power. It releases a power for love. It releases a power within us to see the other created in the image and likeness of God, and we see the sacredness, the dignity, the incredible value of the other. We see the heart of Jesus for the other. You know, so many saints down through the ages who've had this kind of heart of Jesus, who've been able to embrace those who are most marginalized in their culture and draw them in to the heart of Jesus. Now, more than ever in our culture, particularly in the Western world, but beyond, there's this need for this merciful heart. Because you see, in our culture, we become incredibly litigious, that someone's to blame, and I will get what I ought to get from them, what I deserve. I will get my justice. And where justice is can be properly received, so it should be. But it will never bring mercy. It will never achieve what mercy can achieve, which kind of reaches into the human heart. And it draws people into great hope when mercy is expressed to them, when people are drawn to the merciful heart of Jesus. Yes, through the hands and feet of Christians. Yes, through the actions of Christians. But when people experience that merciful heart of Jesus, there's great hope released in people's lives There's great hope released in cultures and in systems. Pope Francis says, look, we can have the best systems to make our economies better and more equitable in the distribution of wealth. And so we ought to work on that and transform our culture. But it has to come from a merciful heart, the merciful heart of Jesus. Because we just seek to change systems, when that system breaks down, or when that people who may have the vision for that system are gone, you still have the human heart that often is driven towards self and not towards mercy. So today, as we come to open our hearts to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, because that's an image that's used in the scripture of Jesus the King, not a king who's autocratic and seeks to be served, but this king who lays down his life, who, yes, establishes a rule and reign of love, but provides the means by which we can come into that rule and reign experience of God's love through the merciful love of God. We haven't experienced love yet if we've never experienced mercy, and we've never fully loved if we've never shown mercy. So I want to invite you today to open your hearts and your minds to remember the merciful love of God for you. I'd like you to open your minds and hearts to remember the merciful love of God expressed through you to others. I'd invite you today to open your mind and hearts to those whom I have closed off in some way, that merciful love of God too. You see, because once we are a people who are imbued and deepened in the merciful love of God, there was an energy release. All of a sudden, we're not in some sort of enclosed, you know, experience of just our own community, but we kind of recognize this connection with every human person. And we recognize this connection comes from the heart of Jesus that's burning in love, burning in mercy to draw people into his merciful love. So I just want to just take a few moments to remember as we're drawn into the Eucharist, which is this great memory of this merciful love of Jesus broken and given for us, so that we might be able to be broken and given for those around us.